Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm a sinner. That's what today's scripture sounds like to me. Maybe Paul was the first founder of any anonymous group ever. It's interesting to me that for six chapters, Paul has been speaking as a serious teacher and theologian about what you should be doing, and now all of a sudden, Paul speaks in the first person and is talking about himself. Paul, who for all intents and purposes has been pretty, shall we say, holier than thou, and now he admits that he isn't perfect. That's big stuff. Most of you know that my dad, growing up, as I was growing up, was a huge gardener. He'd worked on farms as a kid, and he had a green thumb that was unbelievable. If my dad couldn't grow it, it couldn't be grown. But when I grew up, and so every year as we summer approached and as the garden times came, we had all of this wonderful vegetables to eat, lettuce and tomatoes and cucumbers and okra and squash, and it just went on and on. And being one of eight kids, it was pretty important that we have a garden. But when I grew up and had to rely on my own ability and food, I went to the grocery store like most people did. And I was shocked, because I walked through the produce area and the tomatoes were so perfectly round and pretty red, and the vegetables were perfectly proportioned and bright greens, and they were just gorgeous. And I took them home and I cooked them and they tasted terrible. Man, I was disappointed because they looked so perfect and they had no flavor. The produce was fake. It had no taste. The texture was wrong. But you see, it had been manufactured to not decay and to have no blemishes and to look that perfect waxy looking finish on the shelf. Does that sound a little bit like our world today? Perfectionist. That's what this world has become. And unfortunately, this place, the church, has become one of the worst culprits. I've used this saying before. We want this to be a hotel for saints, but it needs to be a hospital for sinners. Because Paul tells us right here, that's what we all are. That's all we can be. Several months ago, Kelly came into my office and she said, "You know, I've been contacted by a group that wants to use our sanctuary for a program." And that happens pretty regular. And so we look at the calendar and we see if it's possible and check the dates. And she said, "Well, this is a little different." I said, "Okay, how is that?" And she said, "Well, it's some of our anonymous groups. They want to have a fundraiser." And I said, "Great, bring it on." And then she said, "They ask, would it be okay if people like them were in our sanctuary?" People like them. Well, that made me hurt. It made me hurt. Would we allow people like them? What did that even mean? People who had had addiction issues, people who've been down trying to pull themselves up, people who don't go to church. What is it? And Kelly said, well, they say there are a lot of people with tattoos and piercings and those who have had hard times and those who are fighting addictions. They want to have a place where they can sing and they can perform, and for obvious reasons, they can't go to the typical places here in Austin where they can do that. Without hesitation, I said, of course. That's exactly who we want to walk through these doors. People who are just like us. Who are just like us. What is this building for if it is not for those of us in this world who need a place of sanctuary? A place of sanctuary. I'm not going to lie to you. I have a real problem with, I don't know if you would call it perfection envy, or maybe I should call it perfection worry. I've never been accused of being a perfectionist. But I have been known to worry about meetings and to worry about decisions and to worry about sermons and to worry about bulletins and worry about the visits I make and worry about conversation and worry about worship services. My husband can tell you that I have a little bit of security issues in those kind of things. You name it, and I've probably worried about it. Did I do the right thing? Did I say the right thing? Did I go to the right time to visit? You get the idea. Then at some point it became very clear to me. Cheryl, if you're trying to do it, it's not going to be perfect. Even if I could in some way make it perfect. God doesn't need it to be perfect. If so, God wouldn't have chosen me. Perfectionism is not what God seeks in us. That tomato that tasted so perfect from my father's garden, it wasn't perfectly round. It was rather strangely shaped, some of them. The skin wasn't gorgeous. It wasn't waxy red. It was blemished. But it was that imperfection that made it so real and so good. Woody Guthrie's song that you just heard, "This Land Is Your Land," was somewhat controversial when it came out. There were several verses that weren't recorded. One that the choir sang today, the last verse. And as I read it several weeks ago when Catherine gave us the music, it gave me the title for my sermon today, "In the Shadow of the Steeple." The actual original words, which Nora Guthrie, Woody's daughter, has on a napkin, aren't even what you have in the bulletin today. They read like this: "On a bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the steeple, by the relief office, I saw my people as they stood hungry. I stood there wondering if God blessed America for me." Even a little more controversial, isn't it? Those are hard words to hear, especially today. This land that our church stands on, a piece of land in the middle of Africa with wild animals running on it, the land in Chile where our friends the Bullocks work every day, the war-torn land of Afghanistan and Iraq, and on, all of this world was created for God's people. What happened to it? The walls we put up, the harm we do to each other, the danger, the fear, the war, all of it is us, people. All of that. We're not saints. None of us are. God doesn't play favorites and say, I'm going to bless this group of people and not this group. People have caused the problems in this world. My favorite bumper sticker, and if I were ever going to put a bumper sticker on my car, it would be this one that says, God bless the world, no exceptions. That's the way it is. God blesses us. We don't always have the ability to see it. Sometimes we are hidden in the darkness. And that darkness does not come from God. That comes from the world and the people of this world. I thought a lot about our church this week, our steeple shadow. I wondered what it must be like up here that first part of the week when not a soul was on the property. And they were up here working on the parking lot and striping the stripes. It was going to be a fresh new surface and fresh new look. And I thought about our steeple casting its long shadow. Our steeple that has casted a long shadow, a presence in this community. And yet we struggle to grow and to draw others in. How do we communicate with groups like this group asking to use this sanctuary? How do we say, this sanctuary is open to you? We want you here. How do we say, come on in? Do we notice the hungry sitting in the shadow, the hurt, the outcasts, those who sometimes come into our building and don't necessarily feel welcome? I think first and foremost, we need to quit pretending we're all saints. And the church is one of the hardest places for people to admit that they're imperfect. And I don't understand that, but it's true. I think the anonymous groups work so well because they can't use your story against you. You come in and you can tell them your first name. You can't even tell them your last. So no one in that group can share the information outside of the walls. We live in fear. We live in fear that if people, especially people at church, we live in fear that if people know the real us, they won't accept us. We come in our finest attire, we put on our happy face, and we tell everyone we're fine when we're not. We've got to feel safe here. We have to know that we're safe here. We have to know that people here love us. And even if they know the real us, they're going to love us. At youth camp last month, Ryan Price, the pastor of Second Baptist in Lubbock, talked about his clubhouse in his backyard when he was a child. He talked about it being the place that he ran to when he needed to feel safe and secure. This needs to be that for every person who wants to walk through our doors. This needs to be a judgment-free zone. A place that when we feel like we're in the midst of the darkest corner of hell, that we can stand and someone will stand with us and shine a light of God's love on us when we feel like we can't see that light. When we share our stories, our real stories, without fear, then others feel like they can share their stories also. And we have to stick to our commitment to not judge, to know that we won't be judged and we won't judge others. You can tell me whatever you need to tell me, and I'll love you, and I'll be there with you, and tomorrow I'll stand with you again. And that's not easy. This church is really good at that. But there are still those who live in fear. It seems easier than it is. We don't always want to know the truth about others, do we? Sometimes it's easier to see the perfect side than to see the blemished side. But that's not what people need. They need to be free to be themselves. We also have to remember that none of us are on this journey alone. We have to walk together. And I think we always see ourselves as the worst offender. Or that this is happening to us and no one else has ever gone through it. Paul says, I'm a mess, but hallelujah, we're all a mess. Can we all say that? Hallelujah, we're all a mess. Hallelujah. The thing that works so well about that anonymous group is that you come together and you say, I've got this problem. I'm powerless over it. You all admit that you have the problem. And you find comfort in one another's stories. And you say, we're going to take this one day at a time. And we're going to celebrate the small victory. And tomorrow we're going to get up and try it again. May we seek always to turn to one another and say, Hi, I'm Cheryl, and I'm a sinner. Here's my story. Can I hear yours? When we can all do that, when we can all be our true selves and allow others to be their true selves, then those in the shadow of our steeple will want to step inside into the light. And we can all hold lights for one another in those dark places. Light that comes from above. And light that cast out all darkness.